So, Jim, I'll pose the first question. Why Liberia?
Well, Steve, there's a strong Atlanta-Liberia connection. The metro area is home to one of the largest Liberian communities anywhere. Also, the Carter Center here in Atlanta is a catalyst when it comes to those working to help Liberia move past this unbelievable devastation caused by a 14-year brutal civil war.
A brutal civil war. Explain that.
It really kind of started as a revolution in name, but it quickly spiraled into what most would consider anarchy. So tribes turned against each other. Even small but long-standing issues between family members quickly became reasons for murder, to kill one another. Those who were suspected of being wealthy or even educated were murdered because they were considered to be among the ruling class. At checkpoints, this is an image in my head that just... I can't get out. Pregnant women would have their bellies opened up, oftentimes in front of the father of the child, and checkpoint guards would consume parts of the baby while the father watched and the mother died.
Cannibalized.
Yeah. You don't think these things are humanly possible, but they were stories that were told every day. And this went on for 14 years. So you can imagine what this does to the mindset of a country.
So before you went, you linked up with a Liberian student working on his master's degree in chemistry, I believe, at Clark, Atlanta.
Right.
And this was really the first time you heard face-to-face from someone who endured the war?
Right. And, you know, as we talk back and forth here, I want to play some excerpts from that interview. Saki Golafale is 31 years old, and he tells me his family fled to Sierra Leone to escape the fighting. It was a 22-hour journey.
My first terrible experience was walking 22 hours from my hometown to a town in Sierra Leone to go and seek refuge. And I fell sick for a couple of weeks trying to get...
He tells me his brother was killed, his friends died, and he talks about a female relative
who was pregnant, couldn't get to the hospital on time because she was behind rebel line and trying to get on a truck to get to her clinic. A pregnant woman on a truck on a bad road couldn't be saved. She died, and that was pain in the family also.
This was probably one of the least disturbing accounts I heard.
So when you went, what did you see? What did you witness?
All kinds of things, good and bad. One, massive amounts of redevelopment, especially in the capital city of Monrovia. A lot of good is happening there. You do get the sense that it is a city on the rebound. However, it's been 9, almost 10 years since the Civil War ended, and there's still marks of it everywhere. You can see blight everywhere. There's a massive rural-urban dichotomy. Once you get out of the city of Monrovia and you go into some of the remote villages, no electricity anywhere close by, no running water. It's really night and day, so to speak. And broken social structures. And that's really one of the things that we're going to look at during the series. What are those broken social structures? What's being done, especially with the Atlanta connection, to fix them?
So all this week, we're featuring parts of your series. How have you got it broken down?
Tomorrow, we'll kick it off with a look at efforts to increase access to information. So something as simple as making an open records request, it actually has a pretty strong correlation with keeping the peace.
That was a natural result of mistrust between the government and those who were being governed. And I think to a significant extent, that was one of the key factors of the war.
So we're going to look at those efforts. Wednesday, we take a look at the Carter Center Access to Justice Initiative. This is actually really one of the cooler stories, the nicer stories to tell. They're finding solutions on the hyper-local level to keep small issues from becoming big ones. And again, that's a way to keep the peace. Thursday, we delve into how a country builds a mental health infrastructure from scratch when an estimated 40% of the population suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder.
Let me ask you about the Civil War and what that has done to the mental health stability.
Wow. Yes. The Civil War did so many things to or linking to these mental conditions in this country.
And Friday, we end the series with a one-on-one with President Jimmy Carter.
We hope it does create some elements of stability, which we hope will be enough commitment to stability to prevent any further outbreak of conflict.
Knowing what has happened in that country and seeing that the difficulties that many of the people in the country are still facing because of the trauma of the Civil War several years ago. How did that affect you personally?
I tell people that I understand what privilege is now in a way that I never have before. It's kind of the luck of the draw, the way the cards were dealt, that I'm here talking to you as opposed to, you know, living through a war like that, which at my age I would have done. And to know that is kind of troubling. I have the feeling that I want to do more, but I don't know what. Like, how do you fix a problem like this? And this is only a small part of Africa. Right now we're seeing similar things starting to break out in Central African Republic, South Sudan. This is a global issue. And to look back at what happened in Liberia, at the time, not a lot of media reported it. It's not a very sexy story.
Genocide, civil war, the brutality that's going on right now in South Sudan. That captures people's attention. But cleaning up the aftermath doesn't seem exciting enough.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Am I looking at that wrong way, or do you think that's accurate in a way?
I think that's accurate in a way, and that's unfortunate. This is a story that needs to be told. There's a strong Atlanta connection, as we mentioned, throughout this series. But even without that Atlanta connection, it's a story we don't hear, and we should. We really do need to know.
Stories like this, rarely, if ever, are wrapped up nice and neatly after a certain period of time. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Do you feel the need to go back and tell more of the story?
I'm still troubled by a lot of the things that I saw. It was a challenge to me professionally that I had not prepared for. I knew it would be a challenge, but I didn't know how much of a challenge it would be. I would like to go back in 10 years and compare it to what I see now. And most everyone I talk to, actually, all the Liberians I spoke with, I would ask them the same question. Do you believe civil war could again break out? Most of them said yes.
Jim Burris, looking forward to the series this week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.